NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by Ford, with 50 new models for 1970. Ford is the going thing. Here is Lew Wood.
The leader of the Al-Fatah Palestinian guerrilla organization, Yasser Arafat, has arrived in Cairo to join talks aimed at settling a dispute with Lebanon over freedom for his guerrillas to operate against Israel from that country. Arafat is expected to meet with Lebanese Army Chief General Emil Bustani later today. In Lebanon, the fighting between government troops and Arab guerrillas continued sporadically along the Syrian frontier, and Jordan's King Hussein has called for an emergency Arab summit meeting to discuss the rift in the Arab world. Italian police have spent 8 hours questioning that young American Marine who carried out history's longest airplane hijacking yesterday. Marine Lance Corporal Rafael Minichiello, who turned 20 today, has given officials in Rome a signed statement on the episode, but it is still not clear whether the youth will be turned over to American authorities or be tried in Rome on several lesser charges. The United States has asked Italy to hand over the youth as quickly as possible for return to this country to face federal hijacking charges. Minichiello, an AWOL Marine who was facing a court-martial, ended his 24-hour escapade in Rome when he was captured by Italian police after the TWA jet landed. A Vietnam report and more news after this from Ford.
The 1970 Torino has changed. Changed clear through.
Torino.
Changing. Changing.
Changing.
Torino.
Torino.
Changing.
Paul, what is it you brought a Torino? You've changed.
Torino, is it, Paul? It's Antonio.
Torino.
Changing.
Changing.
Torino.
Torino.
Changing.
The 1970 Torino has changed. Changed clear through.
I'd like to change the name of my car because it's very hard to pronounce.
What kind of car do you have?
A Torino.
Torino.
Changing.
Torino.
Torino.
Changing.
The 1970 Torino has changed. Changed clear through.
Excuse me, miss. I see you're hip to the changes in fashion. You're wearing candy-striped bell-bottoms, a see-through shirt, and beads. Tell me, what do you think of a guy who drives a Torino?
I am a guy who drives a Torino.
Torino.
Changing.
Torino.
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 Changing.
Torino.
The 1970 Torino has changed.
Once again, Lew Wood. Today is National Day in South Vietnam, commemorating the 1963 overthrow of the Diem government. And it's also the first anniversary of the U.S. bombing halt against North Vietnam. There were no attacks. Tomorrow, the holiday in Saigon, but fighting continued elsewhere in the country. American infantrymen claimed that they have destroyed the headquarters of a Viet Cong regiment about 40 miles north of the capital. Senator Mike Mansfield says he has no idea what President Nixon is going to say during his Vietnam policy speech Monday, but predicts it could very well be the most important of the president's career. Next Tuesday is election day for many areas. Governors of Virginia and New Jersey will be elected, as well as mayors in New York City, Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. A report on that race from Andy Guthrie in Cleveland.
Cleveland's Democratic Mayor Carl Stokes, first Negro to gain a major U.S. city hall, is locked in a close battle for re-election with Republican challenger Ralph Perk, the county auditor. Today, Stokes got in a slam at both the Nixon administration and his opponent at a traditional pre-election debate, a debate the middle-aged Republican Perk refused to attend.
We're beginning already in this city and every other major city in this country to feel the effects of this nation's new go-slow, cut-back, keep-mum, lay-off, tune-out, drop-out, and cop-out administration in Washington, D.C. And if anyone imagines that it will be any different in Cleveland if we elect the local Spiro Agnew, then he ought to be awakened.
Andy Guthrie, NBC News, Cleveland.
More in a moment.
Ford's new small car Maverick was introduced last April of 1995. Since dealer preparation charges, transportation, and state and local taxes vary, they were not included, nor was equipment that's required by state law. Still, Maverick became the most successful new car since Mustang. Partly because it was a beautiful, simple machine. Mostly because Maverick was an American car you could drive home for around $2,000. Now the 1970 models are out, but Maverick is still 1995 at your Ford dealers.
The Federal Aviation Administration says for the first time it will invoke its power to limit noise from commercial jetliners. The new rules will require the so-called jumbo jets now in production to be quieter than the jets now in the air. The new rules are expected to be announced this month. A split in the leadership of India's ruling Congress Party has plunged that country into a serious political crisis. Once again, the hour's top story. Yasser Arafat, the leader of the Palestinian guerrilla organization, has arrived in Cairo to join talks aimed at settling a dispute with Lebanon over freedom for his guerrillas to operate in that country. Lou Wood, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford, with 50 new models for 1970, brings you NBC Monitor News. In New York, 6,000 people a day trooped into Cartier's jewelry store on Fifth Avenue to gape at the diamond. Which diamond? The 69.42 carat diamond that Cartier bought at auction for $1,050,000 and then sold to Richard Burton. They didn't say how much he paid for it, but part of the deal is that it be called the Cartier diamond and be on display first in New York and then in Chicago before Elizabeth What's-Her-Name gets it. You suppose that means they got a discount in the price? Something like $1,999,999.99? Talk about cheap. That's wrong, anyway. That would be $1,049,900 and whatever. Yes. Talk about silly. Here's a free quick pick of the wick. Jay and the Americans, Walking in the Rain.
I want her, I need her, and someday, somewhere, well, I'll meet her. She'll be candle shy, and real good looking too, and I'll be certain she's my girl by the plane. She'll
known medical fact that eating too much or too fast can cause pressure and gas. The modern solution is Digel, the extra action antacid with the extra action of simethicone. Digel neutralizes excess acid, and it has the extra action of simethicone in a patented formulation that breaks up bubbles of gas. So when you eat too well, demand Digel. It works as no plain antacid can. Digel is the extra action antacid that brings you more complete relief. D-I-G-E-L. Digel. Tablets or liquid at all drug counters.
Today, there are two leading brands of aspirin, and St. Joseph aspirin is one of them. St. Joseph is pure, full-strength aspirin, just as effective as the other brand.
Very interesting, since the other brand usually costs more.
That's one less headache you get when you specify St. Joseph aspirin.
Who will decide the winners in this coming Tuesday's elections? You and me, the voters, or the bosses in organized crime? Ralph Salerno and John Topkins have written a book called The Crime Confederation, in which they describe organized crime's influence on federal, state, and local politics. Monitor reporter Barry Simmons interviewed Ralph Salerno.
Mr. Salerno, isn't it a fact that crime in the United States today really could not exist without being couched in the highest level of politics?
Certain organized crime would not even want to try to run its operations if they had to do so without some protective covering from the political area of our society. You're looking at, if you take an overview of the United States right now, this moment, you're looking at a great deal of evidence of what they've done. You have the statement of Richard Hatcher in Gary, Indiana, that he was offered $100,000 to get out of the primaries when he put his name in. He turned it down. When he won the primaries, he was offered $100,000, this time for a detente. And there's the city level. You have John Lindsay in New York, rather embarrassed to find that one of the men who gave him an endorsement has now been identified in the congressional record as a member of a Cosa Nostra family. He's embarrassed by it. You have charges against a member of Congress in New Jersey, which remain unanswered to this date, and the Ethics Committee of the House does not intend to pursue that matter. Where everybody's waiting for the complete answer that was promised by the governor of Ohio when it was indicated that a $200,000 offer had been around for quite some time for a parole matter. He says he didn't do it. His predecessor indicates that he knew of the $200,000 offer and had himself refused a feeler. So you can go to the federal level of government, you go to the state house, you go to city halls, and you find organized crime trying to make its way in.
Being as deeply rooted as you indicate, how can Cosa Nostra, Mafia, the underworld be eliminated from this society?
Well, I think you have to evaluate where their strength is, and that's where you concentrate your efforts. One of the great strengths they've had over the years is secrecy. I certainly have to salute communications media in all of its forms for going through what I call a public education program, wiping away the secrecy, explaining how it works, how it operates. We're hitting them in one of their strong points. If political collusion is another strong point, then I think the exposure of that and making it a negative thing for people in government to openly associate, as they did in the past, with racketeers and gangsters, is hitting again at the strength. So that's the way to address it. If this has been a strength of theirs, attack it, reduce it, and make it their weakness.
How does the Mafia affect the economy of this country?
I have looked at figures which clearly indicate to me that if we could collect proper taxes on all of the enterprises they're involved in, forget about putting anybody in jail, just collect proper taxes on this $40 billion industry, it would not have been necessary for any American citizen to pay a 10% surcharge. You might even have been able to get a 10% discount. I would have preferred line 12A on Form 1040 of the Internal Revenue Service to read, because organized crime doesn't pay its proper taxes, you will pay a 10% surtax. I think if the people of this country could have identified with that fact, they would demand that something be done about it. It's hitting them in the pocketbook. We don't know the full extent, but just the tip of the iceberg we see is tremendously alarming economically.
We'll continue this interview with Ralph Salerno, author of The Crime Confederation, later in this half hour, here on the Monitor Beacon.
Mr. Sidney Poitier. John Lindsay's put himself on the line to hold us together. He's telling us now that the fight for New York is not a fight among our people, but a fight for all our people. That's the kind of man we want as mayor. That's the kind of mayor we have. Let's keep him.
Vote for Mayor Lindsay. Paid for by committee to elect Lindsay Parada Garlick.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
A Monitor news feature. The wild skyjacking of a TWA plane yesterday ended in Rome. For a report on the young man responsible for the skyjacking, here is Ed Ives in Seattle, Washington.
Today is the 20th birthday of Rafael Minichiello, but there will be no candles lit for Rafael in the Minichiello home. Today the home is dark. Rafael's mother and sister were taken away by friends last night. The mother, supposedly to be taken to a hospital for treatment of her shaken nerves. None of the Minichiello's neighbors have heard or seen anything of them since. The Minichiello's came to this country from Italy about 6 years ago. 2 years ago, Raphael's 80-year-old father went back to the old country to live. The mother and sister and Raphael, up until the time he joined the military, lived at the south end of Seattle on a tiny vegetable farm. There are four families living here, all Italian. The Minichiello's rent their home, a converted barn, really. They live on the second floor with a garage beneath. Mrs. Minichiello speaks no English, so newsmen talked last night with 18-year-old Anna, Raphael's sister. Anna said the last time Raphael visited his family in Seattle was last January, and she thought his service in Vietnam had changed him for the better.
When he came back, he was nicer to me and to my mom. He was more like a man than he was before.
It's reported that when Raphael left the hijacked plane in Rome, he asked to be taken to his father, living near Naples. But Raphael never made it. One thing that could have worked on Raphael's mind, his home is just off the runway of Boeing Field and only a short distance from the huge Boeing plants where the biggest jet airliners in the world are built and tested. The roar of the jets is a way of life in this section of Seattle. The aircraft that Raphael Minichiello hijacked for the longest and wildest ride of all was the Boeing 707. This is Ed Ives reporting for Monitor from Seattle.
News and news features every weekend on Monitor.
Hey, this is Al Hirsch. Want to drink my kind of beer? Ask the man for Miller High Life. It's hearty, robust, and deep down good. Make your move to Miller now.
Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Ralph Salerno has described organized crime as America's most successful industry. Well, what's to be done about it? Package it and export it to foreign countries? No market wants it. Stamp it out. How? Barry Simmons questioned Ralph Salerno on that aspect of the crime problem.
How do you feel the law enforcement agencies can deal with the underworld? Can they really? It seems to be such a monster the way you picture them and tell the story of Cosa Nostra and the Allied operations and organized crime in your book, The Crime Confederation. It seems almost a monumental, if not impossible, job to uproot this sort of organized underworld and eradicate them from this country.
Law enforcement cannot combat organized crime until law enforcement gets organized. Now, I don't call for a national police force, but I do call for combined teams in given pieces of geography where the federal agencies, the state prosecutive and investigative agencies, and municipal police will all work together. That's being tried on the East Coast for the first time. The first time we've had an organized law enforcement effort. I think it's going to be successful. I think we have to realize that law enforcement cannot do the job all by themselves. $20 billion in illegal gambling alone in the United States. That's not racketeers betting with gangsters and vice versa. That's millions of otherwise very fine American citizens supporting this business, supporting this industry. There are alternatives. People like to gamble, fine. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think it's stupid to bet and gamble with the same people who have controlled the importation of hard drugs, such as heroin and cocaine. That's ridiculous in my mind. I think legal alternatives. I think we should study the possibilities of the legalization of gambling so that we can hit them in the pocketbook and seriously hurt the structure, even without anyone going to jail.
You really, really think that what you say as a solution can really come to be?
I think it's in the process of beginning right now. I see a number of things happening, not only from the direct thrust of law enforcement, but from social pressures which are building up. For example, we've ignored the long record of 30 or 40 years standing of the role of organized crime in the ghetto areas. Ghetto areas entirely occupied by poor people and racketeers making millions of dollars out of it. Now, that's coming into focus only because of our interest, very recent interest, of what's happening to disadvantaged people. What can we do to help them? The spotlight's being turned on. Black leaders have told us that if we don't stop the rape of the ghetto, they're going to ask for community control and run the vices themselves. This has alarmed many people and who now feel the better alternative is to try to reduce the effects of the rape of the ghetto. So this kind of pressure is building up. Many people who are not interested in organized crime per se are now interested because they're aware of what the syndicates have been doing to minority groups in this country.
Thank you, Mr. Salerno. Ralph Salerno, the author of the book The Crime Confederation, which he calls the untold story of America's most successful industry, the strategies and techniques of the Cosa Nostra and allied operations in organized crime. This is Barry Simmons, NBC News in San Francisco for Monitor.
Johnny Mathis sings this new one, Midnight Cowboy.
Come on, Charlie. Get the one antifreeze that's guaranteed not to run out on you. Anti-leak Xerox.
Don't be a loser, Charlie.
Only Xerox guarantees you no radiator leaks for a full year. Or write DuPont for your money back.
Don't be a loser, Charlie.
Xerox anti-leak antifreeze.
Don't be a loser, Charlie.
You're tuned to KOA Denver Radio 85. All the numbers sound off, then there'll be more monitor. Morgan.
Want to keep up with the Joneses? Join Jack Jones and host Murray the K tonight on Monitor 69.
All right. You remember the new Plymouth slogan for 1970?
Yeah, Plymouth makes it.
Right. Now, you say to me, what does a magician do? And I say, a magician fakes it. And you say, what does a dancer do? And I say, a dancer shakes it. Then you say, what does a Plymouth do? And I say...
Plymouth makes it.
Right. Okay, let's try it.
What does a magician do?
A magician fakes it.
What does a dancer do?
A dancer shakes it.
What does a protester do?
Plymouth... A protester?
Yeah, a protester's an angry man.
Yeah, I know, but...
And an angry man is in a fury.
Yeah, but...
And a man in a fury is in a beautiful car.
What?
And you know where he got that beautiful car?
Yeah. Plymouth makes it.
Plymouth makes it. See the all-new 1970 Plymouths now at your Plymouth dealers.
Make it to your local New York, New Jersey, Fairfield County Plymouth dealer.
This is the place, the Joe O'Brien Place. Weekdays, 5 to 9 a.m. on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Mike Moss, WNBC News. It's 56 degrees and cloudy in New York City. At 4:30, Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell has asked the Supreme Court to rule that he is entitled to recovery of $55,000 in pay he lost when he was excluded from the House for misusing public funds. Powell also wants a federal judge ordered by the Supreme Court to consider his claim that he's entitled to recovery of the $25,000 fine he paid to be able to take his seat again in the House. Mario Procaccino is under fire today from J. Lee Rankin, New York City's Corporation Counsel. Rankin says Procaccino abdicated his responsibility by being so late in investigating a Patrolman's Benevolent Association welfare fund once administered by one of Procaccino's former campaign advisors. Investigations revealed numerous instances of conflicts of interest involving Norman Frank. Frank was the PBA's public relations man and investment advisor. Procaccino was to speak to a Democratic luncheon in Queens today. Procaccino was replaced by his wife, who didn't say why he didn't appear. A partial agreement has been reached on a list of 9 demands by a group of militant black co-eds at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie. The agreement was reached this morning after talks between the college's administration and the co-eds, who have been in control of part of the administration building at Vassar since last Thursday. Agreement or not, the girls show no signs of ending the first building takeover in Vassar's 108-year history. Franklin Lane High School in Brooklyn will be open Monday. The Board of Education, the police department, and the mayor have firmly stated there will be enough police on hand to make sure there is no repetition of yesterday's disturbance. The school was closed and 9 students were arrested after an outbreak of violence. For many families in New York City, lead poisoning is an ever-present threat. Studies show that as many as 100,000 children a year are exposed to the dangers of lead poisoning. The biggest threat comes from paint and plaster peeling and chipping from the walls and ceilings of decaying apartment buildings. Lead-based paint has been outlawed here for 10 years, but it is still underneath the present coats of paint in many buildings. Today, City Council President Francis Smith proposes that the city extend tax abatement privileges to apartment house owners in a bid to encourage them to remove or effectively cover lead-based paint. Smith proposes that landlords be given a 75% tax abatement over 9 years to cover the cost of the work. Orlando Montenegro is 19. His father is Nicaragua's ambassador to the United Nations. Montenegro was arraigned today in Brooklyn federal court on a charge of smuggling 75 pounds of hashish into the country. Montenegro was arrested at Kennedy Airport when he tried to pick up 2 suitcases he'd left there earlier this week. Federal officials say the suitcases contained $100,000 worth of hashish. An accident on the Connecticut Turnpike this morning killed 3 New Haven residents and seriously injured 2 others. Police say the car skidded 380 feet, flipped over, and rammed a bridge abutment. Here are some final football scores. Notre Dame beat Navy 47-0. Massachusetts beat Vermont 48-7. Michigan overwhelmed Wisconsin 35-7. It was Delaware 44, Rutgers nothing. Westchester State beat Mansfield State 61-8. Clemson shut out Maryland 40-0. It was Dartmouth 41, Yale 21. Buffalo shut out Temple 33-0. Penn State beat Boston College 38-16. Cornell edged Columbia 10-3 in one of the low-scoring games. Rhode Island beat New Hampshire 14-6. It was Pittsburgh 21, Syracuse 20. The correction in that score of the Dartmouth game, Dartmouth 42, Yale 21, as if one more point makes a whole lot of difference. North Carolina beat Virginia 12-0. It was Harvard 20, Penn 6, and Princeton beat Brown 33-6. Weather cloudy with rain likely tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight in the low 50s, high tomorrow 55-60. Partly cloudy and mild Monday with a chance of showers. There's a 70% chance of rain tonight and tomorrow. Winds are east at 8 miles an hour, the humidity 69%. It's 56 degrees and cloudy in New York. Again, the hour's top story, Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell wants the Supreme Court to rule he's entitled to recover back pay. Mike Moss, WNBC News. Now, back to NBC's Monitor with Henry Morgan. Saturday afternoon style, which means feet up, lazy. At least for those of us who are up all night bobbing for apples. I don't know, I think I must have gotten a bad apple. Or a bad bob. Something. Here's musical stuff, Jackie DeShannon, and Love Will Find a Way.
There can be a new tomorrow. There can be a brighter day. Thank you.
and events here and abroad. We'll have a report on President Nixon's new Action for Progress policy for Latin America in 1 minute. That report brought to you by General Motors Acceptance Corporation. GMAC financing for cars, trucks, appliances.
A car is to go watch a ball game from behind first base. A car is to cook out by the side of a brook, not in your own backyard. A car is not to complicate your life with. That's why there's GMAC, General Motors Acceptance Corporation. In our anniversary year, our 50th year of financing cars and trucks and appliances, easily, quickly, at reasonable cost, with consideration. GMAC, to uncomplicate things, to finance your car, car insurance, creditor life insurance, all at once, with a General Motors dealer who uses GMAC. A car is to make things happen, not to get hung up with financing. GMAC financing. We uncomplicate things.
Now, here's Richard Valeriani in Washington.
As he did in Europe and as he did in Asia, President Nixon has now projected a lower profile for the United States in Latin America. The president labeled his new policy for the hemisphere Action for Progress, superseding the Alliance for Progress. Whereas the alliance was characterized by idealism, the new approach is characterized by pragmatism. In this case, pragmatism began at home. The president observed he was making no grandiose promises. He knew full well Congress was in no mood to authorize any new outlays of aid money for Latin America. Mr. Nixon also observed that the United States must deal realistically with governments in the inter-American system as they are. What he was saying was that despite the ideological thrust of the Alliance for Progress, which encouraged the development of democratic political institutions, military dictatorships are once again flourishing in Latin America, and U.S. policy must take note of this fact. The democratic regimes of the hemisphere will probably not agree. The administration believes that in the Western Hemisphere, as in other parts of the world, the United States can play a significant role where its contribution makes a difference. But, as one official said, the U.S. cannot assume the primary responsibility for developing all the programs, furnishing all the resources, and implementing all the programs that may be developed. Thus, the concept of partnership with increased emphasis on Latin American initiatives. This official also took a pragmatic view of the future. Many of the nations of Latin America are now going through serious processes of social readjustment, he said. It is important for us to understand that the success of our policies should not be measured by how much we are loved. Richard Valeriani, NBC News, Washington.
Do you shine your shoes on Saturday night before going out? Well, how long before you have to shine them again? You want that shine to last 1, 2, 3 days long. And Griffin Paste Wax does the job. It's a combination of waxes not found in any other polish. You pay a little less, and you get a lot more shine with Griffin. Griffin, the shoe polish used by so many professional shoe shine parlors. It's actually America's number one shoe polish. Use Griffin for a Saturday night shine. Here's a new one by Frank Sinatra, Going Out of My Head.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. Over you. Anything but you. Go out of my head. And I think I'm going out of my head, 'cause I can't explain the tears that I shed over you.
Before the hour, you're on the monitor beacon.
Hey, beautiful, climb aboard my tricycle and let me take you away from all this.
I'm sorry, I don't go out with strangers.
But I'll show you romance and adventure. I'll take you to a Wetson's hamburger restaurant.
You wouldn't sweet-talk me, would you?
Of course not. We'll have delicious Wetson's hamburgers and French fries and creamy Wetson's thick shakes.
Darling, we were meant for each other.
You and me, beautiful?
No, me and Wetson's.
You let Wetson's taste that happiness on a bun.
Anybody want to buy a tricycle?
In Brooklyn, New York, a Wetson's is located at Utica Avenue and Empire Boulevard. In Queens, New York, there's a Wetson's on Queens Boulevard, corner of Woodhaven Boulevard. For the Wetson's nearest you, check the phone book. WNBC.
The potato chip war is being waged in Cleveland, Ohio. They're not throwing the potato chips at one another. They're fighting about how you make a potato chip. Del Donahue reports.
The Cleveland-based Potato Chip Institute is faced with its toughest challenge ever, trying to prove that a potato chip is a chip from a potato. At stake could be a healthy bite of the potato chip market, which next year is expected to total $1 billion in snack food sales. Procter & Gamble and General Mills both hope to make inroads with new products now being test marketed. The Potato Chip Institute is awaiting a hearing on its suit to block General Mills' distribution in Nebraska of a product called Chippos. Procter & Gamble is already trying out its Pringles in Evansville, Indiana. Both products are made from mashed, dehydrated potatoes, not thin potato slices. What we've done, claims the P&G spokesman, is build a better potato chip, a chip that's crisper, easier to store, harder to break, and more uniform in size. Not so, says the Institute, which represents more than 200 chip makers the world over. No matter how you slice it, quips the spokesman, the new food is hardly a chip off the old potato. Not since the Saratoga Springs, New York restaurant cook invented the potato chip 116 years ago by slicing French fries too thin has the snack food industry been so touched, if not threatened, by innovation. Del Donahue, NBC News, Cleveland.
Next thing you know, they'll be fighting in the streets. I think the only answer really is to bring out the first chip without cyclamates. Well, I'm not going to get into that fight. I wish somebody would do something about that sour cream and onion soup dip. Pretty tired of that. Here's the new establishment with Sunday's Gonna Come on Tuesday, on Saturday.
Oh,
stay away, but if you want to fly, you're free to fly the sky.
But I won't hold you any longer, and a lifetime for a life. One of these days, a day's gonna come on Tuesday, so I know it's never happened before. When the sun won't shine, the grass won't grow, and the rain won't fall, and the wind won't blow.
Discusses his red-hot New York Knickerbockers. Next up on Monitor Sports, brought to you by CD2 oil additive from Alamite.
Hiya, Bunky. You see, your car burns so much oil that two greedy Texas oilmen sent you thank you notes. And it's smoking so much, a fire truck is starting to follow you around town. And the power is so far gone, you have to get out and boost the car over the cracks in the pavement. And if the jalopy doesn't last you through the year, you have to ride around on your kid's scooter. Is that what's bugging you today, cousin?
Well, never give up. Get that car whipped back into shape and nothing flat. All you need, Flippo, is a can of CD2 Red Label. I said CD2 Red Label, the oil additive specially designed by Alamite for cars that need a new lease on life. CD2 stops that oil burning, ends that smoking booby, gives your car that old get-up-and-go, that CD2 Red Label. Remember, friend, if your car can stop smoking...
You can, too.
Sports. Red Holtzman, has the Knicks' fast start surprised you at all?
Well, I really don't know, Guy. As I said, we're busy doing what we have to do to get them off, and we're very glad that they got off very well, but we're striving to have a fast start, and the fact that we have gotten some results makes us feel very good.
What's the key to the Knicks and the Red Holtzman style of play? Is it defense?
Well, I think that basically we have some guys that are unselfish and a lot of guys playing well together, and they are playing good defense and they are hitting the open man very well, and the fact that we have some guys on the bench that can help us is very important too. I think it's a lot of things worked into one.
Red, quickly talking about a couple of your own players who may have been doubtful in terms of their return or in terms of the fact that they were rookies. What about Dave Stallworth, the boy who had a cardiac?
Well,
is he coming through as you expected him to?
Dave, he's done a lot better than we expected since he's been gone for about 2 years. He's done very well, and he's approaching to where he had been when he left, and that was pretty good. And so he's been a very, very welcome surprise. I thought he'd taken a lot longer to do what he's doing now.
What about your number one draft choice, Johnny Warren?
Well, John, we're not pushing John too much. We're bringing him along slowly and letting him watch. And he hasn't really played when the pressure's been on yet. But he can play him. I wouldn't hesitate to use him at any time. He's a good defensive man. I think he knows what we're trying to do. And he'll fit in. But there's just no need to push him yet.
Red, you play Milwaukee and Lou Alcindor tonight. What's your appraisal of the rookie?
Well, I think he's great. I think he's going to be even greater. I think he's going to be one of the great centers in the game because he does so many things. He can shoot it. He's great on the defense, and he's so darn big, you know, and he has a good knowledge of the game, and there's no telling how great he's
going to
be.
When you play in Alcindor, you know you're going to give up points, you're going to give up rebounds. How do you compensate?
Well, we try to do a good job on Alcindor, but we have to do a good job on everybody else. In other words, we don't want to start dropping off people just to play Alcindor and let them get a lot of points or more points than they normally would. So we know he's tough, but we do try to hold him down best we can, but we don't slack off anybody else. We try to play them tough, too.
Thank you very much, Red Holtzman, for being on Monitor's Open Line.
Okay, Guy.
Red Holtzman, coach of the division championship-bound Knickerbockers of New York. This is Guy LeBeau, Monitor Sports.
Petula Clark sings, No One Better Than You. Monitor, you will hear the voice of Paul McCartney. He lives. Although, come to think of it, it's odd we only hear him on All Saints Day. Here, then we'll be back. Morgan for Monitor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mons Madeley with a few words about the March of Dimes prenatal care campaign. Moms, introduce yourself.
Well, do you know who this is by the voice? I guess it's Mom. And I want to talk this evening to my little girls, my young mothers, the ones that's expecting. And I'm talking to you on a very serious subject. Listen, honey, you should be good to your baby before it's born. Your chances of having a good, healthy baby is much better if you see a doctor early and often during your pregnancy. So listen to Mom. If you're expecting, or even if you think you might be, honey, don't take chances. See your doctor right away. It's the best thing you can do. Take Mom's advice. You should be good to your baby before it's born.
This is the place, the Big Wilson Place, weekdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.